If you have your Bible, I would invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26, as we make our way through the second half of the book of beginnings, trusting God amidst adversity. I don't know what you're going through this moment as I'm speaking to you, what difficulty you are facing, what adverse circumstances have come your way, or what's going to happen to you this week coming up or in the weeks ahead. But the chapter in Genesis 26, the first 11 verses specifically, are going to speak to your need this morning. And hopefully my prayer for you and for me is that as we go through this chapter, we will learn how to trust God. We will learn how to lean upon God in every situation we encounter so that He is glorified in our lives. Genesis 26, verse number 1. Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. And I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands. And by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac lived in Gerar. When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." For he was afraid to say, "My wife," thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. And it came about, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife Rebekah. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, certainly she is your wife. How then did you say she is my sister?" And Isaac said to him, "Because I said, lest I die on account of her." And Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, "He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Trusting God amidst adversity. As we read the story, there are a lot of things that are familiar, like father, like son. And yet there's a lesson that we need to learn, a lesson that a lot of us miss. And like the other chapters in the book of Genesis, you're going to see yourself in Genesis 26. And hopefully the things you see will help you understand how you need to trust God even more today than you did yesterday. Four things I want you to see. First of all, we want you to see the difficulty in the land. Then we want you to see the direction from the Lord. Then the deception on the lips. And then some discoveries for our lives. First of all, the difficulty in the land. The Bible tells us that there was a famine. That is the situation. There was a famine in the land, a lot like there was during the days of Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. And no doubt Isaac had heard from his father about that famine. In fact, the Bible tells us back in Genesis chapter 18, these words about Abraham. God says, "For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." Abraham was a man who would command his children. Abraham was a man who would speak to his children. And so, no doubt, Isaac had heard about what happened way back in Genesis chapter 12, about the famine that took place in the land where his father was. And his father made a journey down to Egypt. It reminds me that there are situations that are going to happen to our children that happen to us. And we as parents need to be well-versed in the scriptures to be able to explain to our children how to handle trials from without and temptations from within. We need to be able to sit down with our children and explain to them the situations that are going to come their way in order that they might learn to trust God amidst their difficult situations. How many times as a parent have you sat down with your children and talked to them about your past? About your problems, your failings, and then how God intervened and worked through them, and how you learned to trust God through all those difficult times. That's something we as parents need to do with our children. That's important. They need to be able to understand. I remind them of the words back in Psalm 71 of what David said when he said these words, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and I still declare thy wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare thy strength to this generation, thy power to all who are to come." Psalm 71, verses 17 and 19. As parents, that should be one of our main ambitions in life, to train and to teach our children who God is and how God intervenes and God works through difficult times and how we, as his children, need to trust him in every situation. That's one of the biggest responsibilities we have as parents. But this situation, this famine in the land, tells me something very unique, that what happens to the believer happens to the unbeliever as well. When there is a disaster that strikes, whether it's an earthquake in Los Angeles, it just doesn't happen to the unbeliever, it happens to the believer too. Or whether there's a hurricane, or whether there's a tornado, or whether there's a fire, or whether there's a terrorist attack, whatever happens, happens to believer and unbeliever alike. Take death, for instance. Death happens to the believer as well as the unbeliever. The key element is, how do we as believers handle the situation? We of all people need to be able to handle it in such a way that the world around us sees the difference between us and the world. They see how we handle the hardship, how we handle the disease, how we handle the disaster, how we handle the distress, the difficulty, ultimately how we handle the death. There's something different about our lives. Isaac had a wonderful opportunity to be a shining testimony for his God amidst a famine in the land. Like his father had the same opportunity. You children are going to have the same or similar opportunities as your parents do today to shine for Jesus Christ. Will you shine for him? Will you stand for him? Will you speak for him? Will you show the world that Jesus Christ reigns supreme in your life? The situation? There was a famine in the land. The solution? Well, there's two. You can either flee or you can fall. Fall on your knees. Isaac decided to flee the land. He went to a place called Gerar, a very significant place. You need to circle that in your Bible. We're going to come back to it in a moment. That's a very important place today. But he went to a place called Gerar. He was on his way to Egypt. Well, how do you know that? Because God says in verse 2, don't go to Egypt, Isaac. See, God knows you better than you think you know you. Meaning that somehow in the back of Isaac's mind was Egypt, the land of plenty. The Bible speaks against that over in Isaiah 31, verse number 1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Going down to Egypt is the Bible's way of saying, listen, I don't want you to trust in human resources. I want you to trust in divine strength. I want you to trust me. 100 years earlier, his dad went to Egypt. His dad did not consult the Lord before he went to Egypt. And you will note that Isaac did not consult the Lord before he made his journey. You see, when a difficulty comes your way, you can either flee or you can fall on your knees before God. What do you do? How do you respond to adversity when it comes your way? You see, the solution for most of us is what? How can I get out of this, right? I got to get out of this. This is not the place I want to be. The place of pain is where none of us want to be. So the first question that comes to our mind is, how can I get out of here? That was Abraham's response, the father of our faith. That was Isaac's response. And you know what? That's your response of mine, isn't it? I got to get out of here. I don't like this. Wrong question. The question is, what can I get out of this? Not how can I get out of this? We asked the wrong question. Listen very carefully. God's going to speak to you today through his word. For those of you in the midst of a difficulty, God says, I got something I want to show you. For those of you who are not in the midst of one, but I promise it's going to happen. It's going to happen either this week or the next month or the next year. But you're going to find yourself amidst a famine. You're going to find yourself amidst a difficulty. Listen carefully. Because God is going to speak to you today through his word. Leads us to point number two, the direction from the Lord. The direction from the Lord under two areas. Number one, the prohibition. Number two, the promise. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. He says, listen, Isaac, I don't want you going to Egypt. I want you to trust me, not in human resources. I want you to lean up on me, Isaac. You are my testimony in the land. You are my symbol of light in the land. Don't go down to Egypt. But like his father, he wasn't too eager to listen. He wanted to do what he thought was the best. So God says, there's a prohibition. Don't go here. I want to give you a promise. Listen to what he says. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. God had yet to tell Isaac the promise, but you can bet that Isaac knew of the Abrahamic covenant. You can bet that his dad told him about how the descendants of his seed would be blessed, and all the nations of the world would be blessed because of the seed that would come through Abraham and then through Isaac. You can bet he heard it. But God wanted him to make sure that he heard it from his lips. So God spoke to him. You want to know why? Because God says, in the midst of your famine, in the midst of your adversity, you need to hear from me. You need to know what I say. So I'm going to come to you and I'm going to speak to you. And when I speak to you, you're going to hear my word, because my word is that which blesses you. So I'm going to give you my word. And sure enough, God shows up and speaks to Isaac. Because God says, if you obey my word, as your father Abraham did, oh, you will see the blessings flow upon your life in ways you could never imagine. He says, listen, I want to bless you, so I am going to be with you. Isn't that good? When disaster strikes, you need the presence of God. Where is Isaac? He's in Gerar. Do you know where Gerar is in the land of Israel today? It's called the Gaza Strip. Who owns the Gaza Strip today? The Arab nations. They don't own that. Abraham's descendants do. How do you know? Genesis 26. Tells you. It's not the Arab worlds. It's a Jewish people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their descendants. It's their land. Because God gave the promise to them. All the land of Israel. And then he says, I'm going to multiply your descendants, and through you will come the promised seed, the Messiah. He says, listen, everything is about what I'm going to do through your life, Isaac. And ultimately, there's going to come a seed that's going to bless the entire world. That's the same thing that motivated Abraham. Having never seen the fulfillment of that promise, he believed in it. And God says, Isaac, I want you to be able to believe in the exact same promise I gave to your father. Trust me. Believe in me. God says at the bottom of everything, there is one word that needs to be supreme in your life, and that is trust. Trust me. Wrap your arms around me. Live in the light of who I am. Give your life to me. Believe in me. Don't doubt me. And watch me bless your life. When you pass through that which overwhelms you, when you pass through that which can consume you, understand this, I will be with you. I will be with you. Doesn't Romans 8 tell us that nothing can separate us from the love of God? Oh, these fires, these floods are inseparable. That is, they are unable to separate us from God, who is present with us. He is our present help in our time of trouble. So God would come to Isaac in the midst of his adverse circumstances and say, Isaac, listen, I want to bless your life. God comes to you today and says, listen, I want to bless you amidst your adversity. Just listen to me. As Abraham, your father, did, who was committed to my laws, my commandments, my precepts, and my statutes, who obeyed them without reservation. Young Isaac, I want you to do the same thing. Be just like your father. You'd think that Isaac would say, oh, this is great. This is so good. But it's hard for me to understand the next verse. Verse 6. So Isaac lived in Gerar. When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, she is my sister. For he was afraid to say, my wife. How can that be? After what God just said, how can that be? After God said, I'm going to be with you, Isaac. Isaac, I'm here. I'm going to bless you. Oh, your descendants are going to be so great. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your descendants. It's all about me, Isaac. Just trust me. You think Isaac would get up and say, oh, man, yes, God, I'm going to trust you. But he's just like you and me. Hear a great sermon like you're going to hear today. And you go out there, and what do? You forget everything you just heard. Everything. You forgot about God's presence. You wait and see. You're on your way home. You can turn the car radio on because your favorite football team's playing. And you're going to know what the score is. And you're going to totally forget about the presence of God. You're going to go home, take a nap. And you're going to wake up from your nap and not even think for one moment about God's presence in your life. You wait and see. Mark it down. It's going to happen today. Same thing Isaac did. He lived in Gerar. God said, stay here. He did. But then he feared for his life. Point number three, deception on the lips. Deception on the lips. Three things. Repeated, revealed, and rebuked. It's repeated. Like father, like son. Why? Listen, here's what it is. It worked for dad twice. Remember that? Twice it worked for dad. And my dad was a man after God's own heart, man. He was a great man of God. And if it worked for dad, it's got to work for me. How many times have you heard that one? You see, whenever we seek solutions outside the will of God, and for that temporary moment, there's a reprieve from the difficulties, we send a message to those who follow that if you sin, it works. If you sin, it works. Doesn't work for long, but it works for now. And you know what? In a world of instant gratification, we want it to work for now. So we sin. And that's what Isaac did. He wanted it to work for now. It's like the kid who says, well, Mom, you got divorced and it worked for you. I can get divorced now too and it'll work for me. You ever heard that before? I've heard that tons of times from families who have been through a divorce and realized what had taken place and tried to teach their children another way, but all they can see is, well, it worked for you, Mom. And so in the midst of a difficulty, I'm getting out of this situation. I don't want to deal with him anymore. You didn't want to deal with your husband. I don't want to deal with mine. I'm out of here. Instead of trusting God in the midst of a difficult situation and leaning upon him, we look for the easy solution. And so Isaac, again, not only amidst the famine, but amidst the fear of losing his own life, what's he do? He lies. He lies. He was afraid. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, brings a trap. And Isaac found himself in the midst of a trap. I love what the preacher Philip Brooks said. Truth is always strong, no matter how weak it looks, and falsehood is always weak, no matter how strong it looks. Isn't that good? Sure it is. Falsehood's always wrong. Lying is always wrong. He lied. Guess what? His lie was revealed. It says that it came about when he had been there a long time. Why does it say that? Because God wants you to know I gave him a lot of time to repent and get things right. But he didn't. He was there a long time. How long is long? I don't know. This is a long time. Your guess is as good as mine. That Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out through the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife, Rebekah. Hey, man, no man treats a sister that way. This guy's married to the woman. His sin was exposed. Be sure your sin will find you out. It's hard to keep that position, that posture of lying for a long period of time. And Isaac had realized that, man, this was his wife. I've got to spend time with my wife. I've got to hold my wife. I've got to kiss my wife. I've got to embrace my wife. And so he does. And all of a sudden, Abimelech sees him. What are you doing? I thought that was your sister. Isn't deception ingrained in our beings? Sure it is. We live so many times to deceive. And yet, God has given us the word of truth, the spirit of truth, because he is the God of truth, to make sure we speak truth. We need to be sure we speak truth. All times, because the unbelieving world is a world of lies and deception. Then comes the rebuke in verse 9. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, certainly she is your wife. How then did you say she is my sister? And Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die on account of her. And Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. He was rebuked by a pagan king. Isn't it interesting that he would trust the word of a pagan king before he trusted the word of his God? What are some of the discoveries for our lives? This is point number four. Let me give them to you. There are three of them. When difficulties come, don't turn and flee, but trust and follow. When difficulties come, don't turn and flee, but trust and follow. Psalm 20, verse number 7 says that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They shall be brought down and fall, but we shall rise up and stand firm. A.W. Tozer said these words about trusting God. What we need very badly these days is a company of Christians who are prepared to trust God as completely now as they know they must do at the last day. For each of us, the time is surely coming when we shall have nothing but God. Health and wealth and friends and hiding places will all be swept away, and we shall have only God. To the man of pseudo-faith, that is a terrifying thought. But to real faith, it is one of the most comforting thoughts the heart can entertain. Isn't that good? To the man of pseudo-faith, that is, to the man who is really has an outward profession of faith but no inward possession, to realize that he's going to lose everything is a terrifying thing. But to the man of real faith, he knows that even though he loses everything, he'll never lose his God. And because he'll never lose his God, that is the most comforting thought he can ever have. Do you have real faith, or do you have a pseudo faith? Do you believe in God? Do you trust him? Do you want him more than anything? Do you trust him for everything? Is he your God? Or is he somebody else's God that you've just heard about or read about? When difficulties come, don't turn, but trust. He who trusts in the Lord, Proverbs 28:25 says, he shall prosper. He shall prosper. Psalm 50, verse number 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. When difficulties come, don't turn, trust. Number two, when direction is given, don't rebel, rejoice. When direction is given from the Lord, don't rebel, but rejoice. When God says, listen, in the midst of your heartache, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to say, as hard as it may be, as difficult as it might be for you to accomplish this, I want you to do this. Don't rebel. I want you to rejoice in what I've asked you to do. Proverbs 29:14 says that we need to honor the Lord. For how blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Over in Proverbs 13, verse number 13, it says these words, the one who despises the word will be in debt to it, but the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. When God gives you the words from his scripture, don't rebel against it, but rejoice in it. Proverbs 1, verse number 33, he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. God says, if you listen to me, you'll live securely. You'll be at ease from the dread of evil. So when I give you my direction, don't rebel, rejoice. When difficulties come, don't turn and flee, but trust and follow your God. And lastly, when deception occurs, don't conceal, but confess. When deception occurs, don't conceal your transgression. Confess your transgressions. Proverbs 28, verse number 13 says, he who conceals his transgressions shall not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them shall find compassion. When deception occurs, don't conceal your transgression. Confess it. Confess it to the Lord and confess it to the one that you've deceived, in order that you might find compassion from your God. So important for us to learn to trust God amidst our adverse circumstances. Are you trusting Him? Do you believe in His Word? Do you take His Word for what it says? That He actually means what He says? That if you trust me, you will prosper. If you trust me, I will honor you. I will bless your life because that's what I want to do. Don't turn from me. Trust me. Trust me. Don't rebel against what I'm saying. Rejoice in what I've said and follow me all the way to the end. But if at any time you deceive another person, you sin, don't conceal it. Confess it, and I will honor you. Let's pray together.